we have now the flip side, Dr. Joel, of what we discussed 2 days ago.
Okay.
Before we discussed whether the bracha should be recited before the tefillah or after the tefillah, and now the question is how could she recite the bracha because of the problem of erva? How to circumvent the problem of erva? And today's shiur really is focused on how to justify the minhag of nashim. The Shach and the Taz are going to try to do that after a long detour here, because it would seem that the minhag hanashim doesn't really reflect the pure halacha.
And every time we learn something practical, I go home and ask my wife, so what did you do?
What do you do?
And she says, what do you mean? What's the problem? What, did I do something wrong? You know?
Yeah, whatever they do it right. That's the rule. And I think today we're going to see an example of that, because, as I say, the Shach and the Taz are going to work overtime to try to figure out how the Minhag HaNashim really reflects Allah. So if you have the Maror Makomos page, you'll see that we start with the Mishnah on the bottom of Chaf Beis Amud Beis and Masechta Brachos. And there the Mishnah says that Yorad Litbol, we're talking about a Balkeri here in this case, Im Yochol Lalos Veliskasos Velikros Adshlo Tehei Anetzachama. The problem here is that he wants to recite and fulfill his mitzvah of Kriyat Shema before Hanetz, meaning get the Kriyat Shema of Laila. And the problem is he's got to have enough time to not only go to the mikvah, but also to get up out of the mikvah and recite Kriyat Shema. Now, in the middle there of Yaleh, when he goes up, and Yikra, and he reads the Kriyat Shema, he has another word here in the Mishnah, and that's Yiskasa. And he's got to cover himself. And the reason why he has to cover himself is because of the Erva problem. So clearly, there's no possibility of reciting Kriyat Shema, and we're going to see how this applies in our case of a bracha, in a state of nakedness. So you need Vyaskasa, you need him to cover himself. And then the Mishnah goes on and says, in love, if let's say he doesn't have a chance, he doesn't have enough time before Hanetz to get his clothes on, so there's the fallback position, and that is Yiskasa b'mayim v'yikra. He's allowed to recite Kriyat Shema while his body is covered up by the water. So his head is above the water, the rest of his body is in the water, and he's reading Kriyat Shema. So if we fast forward to the Gemara is not happy about this. On Daf Chav Dalet Amud Beis, this is about 6-7 lines down, and the Gemara asks the following question. Chav Hei Amud Beis, sorry. And the Gemara asks, what does it mean, Yiskasa b'mayim v'yikra, v'arei libo roa es ha'erva? So the Gemara is basically in a bind here, because how could the Mishnah expand his possibilities with this default position of, instead of putting on his clothes, he's in the water? What about libo l'roa sa'erva? And the assumption here of the Gemara is that the water is crystal clear, so you can see the erva through the water. So the Gemara answers that we're not talking about, there's no libo roa sa'erva. Why b'mayim achurim shanu? Okay, so the water is murky and he can't see his erva.
Typical.
Okay, then, and not only that, the Gemara goes on to say that there's a brisa that tells us that if there's no other option, then he should dig his feet into the ground and, you know, shall we say, shake around the murky sand until it becomes Mayim Achur. So that's what we have over here. So again, just to summarize, we have really, in a certain sense, a development of two paragraphs. Paragraph number one is that there's no opportunity to recite Kriyat Shema in a state of nakedness, and therefore he has to get dressed. That's explicit in the Mishnah. We can't question that. And paragraph number two is that can he recite Kriyat Shema while he's in the water? And the Gemara says we have a problem here of libo roa sa'erva, which has to be solved with mayim achurim. So from this, for the time being, we put Masechta Brachos on the side. Maybe you can take it away here. And we open up our Siman, which we've been learning for a while now. in Hilchas Nida, and that's Siman Resh. And Kedarkeinu, we always like to start with the tour and then move on to the Shulchan Aruch. So the tour says the following. First he quotes the Ravid, and then he quotes his father, the Rosh. The Ravid Kosav, what does a woman do in order to recite the bracha? Now keep in mind, the Ravid is on the page of the Gaonim, Rabbi Nechanal, that we spoke about last time, that the bracha is before the tefillah. So the Ravid writes, Tevarech lefaneha, lefaneha means before the tefillah, kodem shetifshot begadeha. It's basically she's dressed. Yeah, this is not something we're familiar with, but this goes back to the Torah, to the Ravid. Now, let's say it's a fallback position, she's already undressed. Im lo bircha kodem shepashta bigadeh. She didn't recite the bracha before. Then tevarech li achar shetikones ad savara b'mayim. The water is covering her up to the neck. But that's not enough. Im heim tzlulim, if the water is crystal clear, then ochrasan b'ragleha umivareches. She has to do this achira b'ragleha. Again, as I told you before, anticipating what's going to come around the bend, the Alma Minig is not like that. But that's what it says here in the name of the Raven. And then the tour says, v'chein kosav adoni ovia rashzal, shek shepotet poshetes malbusheo, that if she's already taken off her clothes, then the first thing that she should do, again, the Ravid doesn't have this middle stage, this middle opportunity. The Rush assumes that there's a middle opportunity. Forget about covering herself in the water and moving around the soil or whatever it is, and making it to Mayim Achurim. He says, Omedes b'chaluka utevarech. Ah, so the Rush now has another option, that she can put on a chaluk, meaning she's not dressed in the formal sense, but she's got, in a sense, a robe around her. And then, after she recites the bracha, tifshot chaluka v'titbo. So basically we have three options here in the tour. Option number one is the Ravid, that she should make the bracha before she takes off her clothes. Option number two, she's already taken off her clothes. We have the Rush's possibility that she should put on a chaluk, make the bracha and then take off the chaluk. And option number three, she's already in the water, then she needs the Mayim Achurim. And that's what we have over here. These two pages have a lot of words on them. All this is basically literature on these two lines in the tour. It's amazing. I tell you the truth, the Drish itself would require weeks of work. I'm just going to try to highlight some of the points in the Drish. But before we get to that, let's just see how this is brought down in Shulchan Aruch. So the Chava writes at the beginning of Siman Reish that, and he starts, in a certain sense, he jump starts the machinery here with the Rush. That's the second, the middle option. And he writes, Kishe poshetes malbusheha, she takes off her clothes, but omedes bechaluka, she has to be covered with this chaluk, tevarech, and then she recites the bracha, asher kitshon v'mitzos v'tzivar v'al atvila, then v'tivshon chaluka v'titbo, v'im lo bircha, if she didn't make the bracha while she was wearing the chaluk, so now she's down in the water, az tevarech li achar shetikones ad savara b'mayim, v'im heim tzlulim, now he has the Ravid here, im heim tzlulim or chasan biragleha umevareches. So no matter what we're talking about in any of the three options, she's not Roes Ha'erva, but either she's wearing her clothes, you know, full attire, or she's at least covering herself with a chalok. Okay, we'll see exactly that middle option, which is the Rush's option, how that works out in terms of the principle of Relibo Roes Ha'erva. That's going to be the discussion in the Mefarshim. And then finally, we have the case of Mayim Achurim. But again, Mayim Achurim is also meant to block any sort of vision or exposure of the body. Okay, so that's what we have here. The Ramah makes a comment. I want to leave the Ramah for just a minute. We'll come right back to the Ramah. But first, I want to fast forward to the basis of the Taz's Kash. Now, to appreciate this Taz, we have to open up a Shulchan Aruch or a Chaim, Simon Ayin Dalid, Hilchas Kriyat Shema, Seif Dalid. We'll get back to Seif Gimel, which is also very relevant, in just a minute. And in Seif Dalid, the Mechaber codifies the halacha like the Orchos Chaim. The Orchos Chaim, which is a very important Rishon for Psak Halacha, says the following. Hanoshim Yecholos Levarech Ulispalel Kishahain Levushos Hachalok Afalpi She'enon Mafsikos Lamata Me'alev. And basically what's going on in the Shulchan Aruch is that if you have this option of a chalok, then you're completely ignoring any sort of requirement to create a hefsek between the erva and the lev. So again, even though we're not yet at the point where it's roa es erva, because again she's covered with a chalok, but there's nothing inside the chalok that's separating the higher parts of a body from the lower parts of the body, and the Orchas Chaim paskins and the Shulchan Aruch accepts that. That's fine. That's okay. And in a certain sense, that's reflected here by the Shulchan Aruch in our Siman Reish in Yoredeya, where he says Omedes bechaluka and Tevarech. He doesn't require any sort of hefsek between the higher parts of the body and the lower parts of the body, as long as she's not roeh in the literal sense. And that's the rush that we saw here quoted in the tour. So everything seems to fit into a picture, except for one problem. And that's the problem of what happens if she's in the water already. This is the problem that's raised by the Taz. Okay then, so let me put this away because this is just going to confuse me. This is yesterday, Wednesday, Monday. Okay. So now we're on number Vav on your page. The Taz Yoredeya Siman Reish Sifkaton Aleph. So let's see what bothers the Taz. The Taz says the following. He sees here a stira between the Shulchan Aruch here in Yoredeya and the Shulchan Aruch in Aruch Chaim. So far we haven't seen any stira. The Taz is going to have to reveal where's the contradiction. At face value, there doesn't seem to be any problem here. Both in Yoredeya and in Aruch Chaim, he allows for her covering herself with the chalok and making the bracha, even though there's nothing actually separating the two parts. So where's the stira? The stira, says the Taz, is in terms of what happens if she's in the water. Once she's in the water, there's no chalok. And if you remember, the Shulchan Aruch says she can make the bracha, but conditional on the fact that it's mayim achurim. He says that's a stira to Aruch Chaim. Why is that a stira to Aruch Chaim? He says the following: Tzarech iyun deBa'Aruch Chaim Siman Ayin Dalit. Pasak b'Shulchan Aruch, this was the Pesach b'Shulchan Aruch based on the Orchas Chaim, Shanoshim Yecholos L'Spalel Kishein Levushos HaChalok Afal Pi She'enon Mafsikos L'mato Me'alev. So there's no hefsek between the lower parts of her body and the lev. V'Heim Divrei Orchas Chaim She'maybi Beis Yosef Shom. Therefore, he says, "Lama hitzrich kan achiras hamayim." Let's explain. The Taz is laying down two assumptions. His first one is that, as far as nakedness is concerned, she's in the water. The only problem is that within the water itself, there's no hefsek between the Lev and the Erev. So the Lev is really Roes HaErev. The solution to the second problem of Roes HaErev is Mayim Achurim. Says the Taz, that contradicts the Shulchan Aruch in Aruch Chaim, because the Shulchan Aruch in Aruch Chaim only needs to cover the Erev, that it shouldn't be exposed, like in the case of Chalok, even though there's no Hefsek between the Lev and the Erev. Meaning, according to the Taz, if the Shulchan Aruch would have been consistent, based on the principles that he established in Aruch Chaim, following through here in Yoredeya, then once she's in the Mayim, that should be sufficient. There's no need for Mayim Achurim. Why? Because once she's in the water, it's exactly parallel to the case of Chalok. And why is that so? Because her body is in the water, so it's not exposed. She's not making a bracha to an exposed nakedness. Nor Voss, what are you going to tell me? That there's no hefsek in the water between her lev and her erva? The Shulchan Aruch says we don't need such a hefsek. And she could wear a chalok. So that the halach of chalok, if we would be applied, if we should extend it to the case where she's submerged in the water, then according to the Taz's logic, this is before this gigantic drisha that I told you about, that I warned you about, that since she's in the water, there's no hefsek here between the lev and the erva in the water. That's exactly parallel to the case of chalok. Why then do we need to block any sort of vision of the erva? She's already in the water. The only reason that you want to require mayim achurim is to make sure that the lev doesn't see the erva. But we don't require that the lev doesn't see the erva. We never postulated a requirement of a hefsek between the lev and the erva. Haraya, the Shulchan Aruch passing like the Aruch Haskayim says she could just wear a chalok. There's no separation between the lev and the erva, and that's fine. She can recite Kriyat Shema, recite Tefillah and Brachos and so forth and so on. And basically, the Taz says nothing to try to justify or reconcile this contradiction. So now again, I have this very long drisha here. What I'm going to try to do, to the best that I can, and I've written myself some notes here, is to summarize the main highlights of this drisha. The drisha says the following. Why does the Mechaber require, here in Shulchan Aruch Yoredeya Reish, Siman Reish, Achira Samayim, Chayevis Lachar Samayim? Even though he himself paskins in Aruch Chaim Siman Ayin Dalet that we don't require a hefsek between the lev and the erva. She could wear the chalok and recite Kriyat Shema. And basically what that means is that the chiddush of the Orchos Chaim, which is paskined by the Shulchan Aruch in Aruch Chaim, is that with regard to an Isha, there is no problem of libol roes ha'erva. Meaning the erva is all the way down, very low down on the body, and there's no libol roes ha'erva. Says the drisha, that's not true. The Mishnah says in the second parak of Chala, Isha kotza Chala, can she separate challah and make the bracha on afrashas challah? Ima omedes, asur lakutz challah ulevarech. If she's not wearing any clothes, then even though we're talking about an isha here explicitly, the Gemara, the Mishnah is referring to an isha, nevertheless it's libo roas ha'erva, and she can't recite the bracha. Ella, the Mishnah says, imkein yosheves, she has to sit down, Upaner shalmata tuchos bekarka. Her entire erva area on the bottom is attached to the karka. And if it's attached to the karka, then there's no libo roas erva. It's crystal clear from the Mishnah in Chala Perek Beis that the requirement of, or shall we say, the iser of libo roas erva applies even to an isha. And if that be the case, then if there's libo roas erva on the isha, how can we allow for this chalok business? And I can understand very well why the Mechaber in Yoredeya, with regard to Tefillas Nida, requires a mayim achurim. Mayim achurim, in a sense, will substitute for this yosheves bekarka v'tochos v'paneh shalmat v'tochos bekarka. But in Aruch Chaim, as the Taz points out, the Mechaber doesn't have anything but a chalok. He doesn't have any, well, he's not talking about a case where she submerged in the water, but presumably, as the Taz postulates, if she's okay with a chalok, she should be okay if she's covered by the water. There's no problem of a hefsek, of requiring a hefsek between the lev and the erev. The Drisha says that's impossible. The Mishnah in Challah establishes a requirement of a hefsek between the erva and a lev, even with regard to an isha, and she can't make the brach on Challah. And based on this Mishnah in Challah, the Drisha comes up with a new chiddush, and he says the following: even though it's true that the premise all over the place in Shas and Poskim is that there's no libo roas ha'erva in the case of an isha, nevertheless, he says, Leka Isa Liberosa Ervmi Komakom Ainzek Kvod Hashchina Shetavarech Kshihi Aruma. It's not called Kvod Hashchina, and she's aware, she's sensing her nakedness. Ulaficha Tricho Lasheves, be Ofen Shepadesh Omata Machusa Bakarka. Her Erv is covered by the Karka. And all this is because of a new din of Kvod Hashchina. So it comes out that according to the Drisha, Im Ha'isha hi b'mayim, and therefore she's aware of her erva, it's not Tchukos b'karka, Ein ze Kvod Hashchina shetavarech aruma b'mayim. Again, it's not aruma in the classical sense. I mean, she's under the water, so that's not aruma. But on the other hand, there's an issue here, even in the water, of Kvod Hashchina. And he says that the Kvod Hashchina, therefore, is Eilo Levarech Elok Shi Mechusa. Either she's got to be covered. And here's where I want to read to you the Ramah. The Ramah, right here in his comment on the Shulchan Aruch at the beginning of Reish, he says, Yesh Omrim Shalot Tavarech Ad Achar Atvila. That's okay. We had a long discussion about this, that according to Rashi, in all cases of Tefillah, the bracha should come after the Tefillah. That was our discussion on Monday. And then he writes for Chein Nogin, that's the Ashkenazic Minog, that the bracha is recited after she comes up from the Tefillah. He's not aware of the Shalah that we discussed the great length with the Chavos Yair. And then he writes the following, the Achar HaTefillah Bi'oda Omedes B'toch HaMayim Mechaseis atzma bi beged o bechaluk umevareches. So the Ramah requires not only that she's covered by the water, but she also has to cover her, probably the top part of her body, to make a hefsek to the erva. And according to the Drisha, and again, Rabosa, we still haven't gotten to our minog yet. Okay? But it's fascinating to me because both the Shulchan Aruch and the Ramah seem to be rejecting our minog. Either you go with the Mechaber requires mayim achurim in the case where she's in the water. We don't have that minog. Or you require that she cover herself while she's in the water. Yeah, I hope she has like a, you know, some sort of waterproof beged over there, whatever it might be. Well, she holds it up, I don't know. In order to separate between herself and the erva, even though she's in the water. And the Drisha is insisting that the reason why she has to have a covering over her body, even though she's in the water, is because of this halach of Kvod Hashchina. And therefore he says that even though the Shulchan Aruch paskins in Hilchos Kriyat Shema or Chaim Siman Ayin Dalet, that she... Oh, okay, so 1 minute. We mentioned the Shulchan Aruch in Siv Dalet, correct? Let's go back to the Shulchan Aruch in Siv Gimel. Siv Gimel, he has a story here with Rabbeinu Yonah. Im Adam Mechabe Gufo Bizro Osav Dainina Lekaf Soka. That even the arms of a person, when they're crossed on top, that could replace and be considered a hafsaka. So it means that based on this Rabbeinu Yonah, Sif Gimel is based on Rabbeinu Yonah, instead of going as far as the Drisha is concerned, that she needs a chalok to separate herself from the Erefa, or alternatively she needs Mayim Achurim, the Shulchan Aruch is okay with Chibuk Zroseha. The Drisha says no. Afal pi shenifsak b'yorchayim b'shem Rabbeinu Yonah shechibuk zros nechshav lehefsek ben aleva erva. That's not so. And he says that the whole story about Rabbeinu Yonah is completely taken out of context. Rabbeinu Yonah's story was about an adam arochets b'kli, right? They didn't have showers the way we have showers today. So they used to fill up a barrel with water. So he's inside the barrel. And he wants to, Rabbeinu Yonah was thirsty, he wanted to drink water, make a brach on the water. So in such a case, he was mechabek zrosov. Why was Rabbeinu Yonah, why did he permit, fall back on this chibuk zrosov? Mishum, shebe'etzem nechshav hu kimechus al yidei akli. Since his body is in the kli, therefore he's already mechusa, and in that case, in order to make sure that he's not looking into the erva, so we ask him to be mechabek zro osof, to sort of blockage between the re'iyah and the erva. But basically, as far as ro'as ha'erva is concerned, there's no issue at all, he's in a kli. And therefore the drisha would say that situation of chibuk zro osof inside a kli, in tefil inside a kli, that's okay to remove the issue of kvod hashchina. Aval b'tvila, in the case of a woman who's going down into the water, he says shalomakli lo sagi b'chibuk zoseha v'eimla levarech aruma, even though again she's covered by the water, b'pnei kovad hashchin. So basically, according to the drisha, it's not going to be sufficient to rely on whatever is written in Shulchan Aruch, in Arachayim, Simon, Ayin Dalet, Hilchus Krishma, because those heterim are all based on the fact that either, number one, he's in a kli, and he's considered already mechusa b'kli, or alternatively, there's some sort of separation between him and the erva, which removes the problem of kvod hashchina. For example, a chalok, he assumes, might solve that problem. But if she's not wearing a chalok, even though she's in the water, there's still a problem of her awareness, her connection to the erva, and therefore it's not kovod hashchina to make a brach at that point. She needs to be mechasa herself. And don't tell me that chibuk zroseh would be sufficient, because that's only okay in the case where she's already mechusa by the kli, but in a normal case of tefillah shalomikli, then she needs a real bona fide hefsek between the lev and the erva, and that means she's got to wear a beged or a chalok. So that's what we have in the drisha. Now at this point, I want to show you that not only is the drisha telling us that the Archaim would not, the Archas Chaim would not accept this minhag of her just making the bracha while she's naked in the water, because the Archas Chaim would require some sort of kisui abeged, like the case of the chalok. So that even though she's in the water, she needs this chalok or this beged. The Bach wants to claim that there's an even greater problem. So again, Rabosai, so far from everything we've seen, if we take a pause with a little bit of an overview of what we've seen, whether it be the tour, whether it be the Shulchan Aruch, whether it be the Drisha, every single source that we have would absolutely object to our minog of a woman making the brach when she's naked in the water. Submerged in the water is not sufficient. And
except Rabbeinu Yonah.
Again, the Rabbeinu Yonah, the way the Drisha understands him, is only talking about where she's mechusa with a kli.
Right.
He's mechusa with a kli in that case. But
that's only his interpretation.
That's right. His interpretation. We'll have to see what goes on here. But I'm just telling you, if we take an overview of what we have until now, the tour was talking about either making the bracha while she's fully dressed, correct, or at least wearing a chalok. In the case where She's already in the water. She needs mayim achurim. The drisha suggests that even the Orchas Chaim would not be satisfied with her making a bracha while she's submerged in the water without a beged or a kisui. The Orchas Chaim requires to remove this kind of kvod hashchina business. He requires a chalok, and as long as she's connected to the erva, we cannot allow her to make a bracha. And the proof of the pudding is from the Mishnah in Chala, which says that she cannot make the bracha on Chala unless she's tocha paneshal matan karka. So you see that there's some sort of inyan, says the drish of kvod hashchina, that she can't recite the bracha when she has a connection to her erva. And even though the Orchas Chaim would allow it in the case of a chalok, but there too we can say that if there's a chalok and some sort of separation by the chalok, like for example she's in the case of a man over there when we talk about Rabbi Yonah, he's Mechabek Zrosov, that already solves the problem of Kvod Hashchina. But in the absence of a chalok, says the drisha, the fact that she's in the water, that might take away the severity of these, so she's not absolutely naked and exposed, but nevertheless, she's still liba roas ha'erva in the sense of kvod hashchina. And now I want to present to you the Bach. The Bach goes even a step further. When I step further, I mean even further removed from the minhag that we know of. So what does the Bach have to say? Now, the Bach writes about this in two places. He has what's called a Kuntres Achron, which is sort of like an appendix in a book when you add something at the back. I don't know what it's called. So he has a Kuntres Achron, and then he has his comments here on the tour. So once again, it's a very long Bach. I'm just going to summarize the highlights of the Bach. The Bach says that I can't accept this drisha. Where does he have any sort of source for this halach of kvod hashchina? It's a svara chadosha shebara milibo. The drisha has no source for this kvod hashchina. It doesn't exist. Oh, he says that what do we do with this Orchas Chaim who says that a chalok is sufficient? Bal Kocha, he says that according to the Orchas Chaim, when a woman, ha'isha, eina kotzachala aruma, mipnei ha'akavos sheheim magulos. Akavos are the upper part of the thigh in the back, correct? Those are exposed, and therefore she can't be kotzachala. That's why she has to dip her body into the karka. But he says, if you look carefully at the sugyan brachos that we started with, on daf chav dalet, in this case on an aleph, the Gemara seems to assume that if a woman is sitting down in such a way that her erva itself is covered, even though the back part is not covered, the Gemara seems to assume that that's okay. But again, there's got to be a covering over the erva itself. And therefore he says that the Orchas Chaim, who is assuming that as long as she's wearing a chalok and her body is covered and the erva is not exposed, that's sufficient for to allow her to make a bracha, to recite Kriyat Shema, and the Shulchan Aruch accepts the Orchas Chaim, he says that's not correct. Says the Bach, there's an Iser of Liba Roes Erva. And the proof is that the Gemara establishes that she cannot be mevarech on the challah because there's parts of her erva that are exposed in the back and she has to dip it into the karka. And therefore, he rejects the Orchas Chaim and the Shulchan Aruch mit la'alocha. So I'll read to you the language of the Bach. He says the following. He says, Das ha'orchas chayim, shemasha isha eina kotza chala aruma, mipnei ha'akovos shehein magulos. He says, that's why she can't separate the chala with a bracha because of the backside that's exposed. He says, aval hochiach, but the proof is against the orchas chayim because the sugyan brachos says a different thing, that the problem is that it's libo roa es erva, that she sees the erva, it's the erva that's exposed. So it's not that she's tochos bekarka in order to cover her backside, but rather her front side, so to speak. And that's the problem of libo roa es erva. And therefore, if there's a problem of libo roa es erva, even in an isha, then the Orchas Chaim allowing her to make the bracha with when she's wearing a chalok, that's not acceptable. And basically the Bach rejects the Shulchan Aruch here. And he writes, Chibuk Zro Osov Shed Nifsak Bior Chaim, by the Shulchan Aruch Nor Chaim, in Siman Ayin Dalet, Ein La Makar Mea Gemara. Okay, the Rabbi Yonah, there's a very story about Rabbi Yonah that he allowed for Chibuk Zro Osov, but that's not going to satisfy the Bach. The Bach demands a source in the Gemara for that. And therefore, Ein Lismoch Al Zeh. We shouldn't rely on Chibuk Zro Osov. V'yesh Limchos B'Noshim Hosos Ken. That women who think that they can be mafsik while they're in the water between the Re'iyah and the Erva, by simply crossing their arms together, that's completely unreliable. Now, if we make a summary of what we have here, according to the Drisha, it comes out that even the Archaim would not accept the Minigan Noshim. And according to the Bach, the Minigan Noshim is unacceptable because we reject the Orchas Chaim. Let's go over that one more time. I mean, I have to go over it. I'm sorry, if you don't mind. It comes out like this, that both the Drisha and the Bach reject the Minig Noshim. It's a Minig She'eino Kosher, I guess you'd say. Why is that? According to the Drisha, even according to the Orchas Chaim in Kriyat Shema, it would not be acceptable, because the Drisha insists that there's a Halach of Kvod Hashchina. And if Kvod Hashchina could be solved or resolved, I should say, resolved by a chalok, but it cannot be resolved in the case where she's naked in the water. Whereas the Bach goes a step further, and he says that even if you would argue that the Orchas Chaim is worried about something that we don't have to worry about, it doesn't matter. We don't accept the Orchas Chaim la'alocha, and ein lismoch alav. So then, for sure, our minug is not acceptable. So, as I said at the outset of the shiur, the poskim want to somehow justify our minug. We started with the Taz in Sif Aleph, then we go to the Taz in Sif Gimel, which is this very very long Taz. And the Shach in Sif Aleph, a very long Shach. So this entire page here, which in the Friedman Shulchan Aruch is Reish Chaf Beis, the entire page in Shach and Taz is coming to justify the Minig HaNoshim. So that the Rama requires that she covers herself while she's in the water in order to make the bracha. He writes, "Bidrisha herich bidin zeh v'kasav shenoshim shalonu shemavarchos al atvila biodom b'mayim arumos v'lo me'achrei hamayim." So they neither do they kick up the water and make it murky, nor do they cover themselves with a chalok. Says the Drisha, "Lav shaper avdi." The af imhem mechavkim zroosam al gufam, even that's not enough, because, and here he quotes some of the poskim, for example, the Levush. You know, the Levush was a contemporary of the Mechaber, and he writes that tzrichim lios mayim achurim kidei shelo ti'ilo yehe liban roa es ha'erva. Correct. And in that sense, the Levush really belongs to the company of the Bach, that there is a definite problem of Libo Rosa Erva with regard to an Isha. And therefore we need a hefsek between the lev and the erva. The question is whether chibuk zros is considered, it qualifies as a hefsek. Then he writes that beisha ein ba mishum liberos erva, that since the erva is lamata miyod, therefore it's not considered libo rosa erva. That's another opinion here against the Bach. V'chein kosev beis yosef b'shem orchas chayim b'simon ayin dalid. In other words, in orchayim simon al dalid, noshim yecholos levarach lispal k'shem levushos b'chalukon. Afal pisha ein mafsikos lamata me'achazer lufisha ervosim lamata miyod. So when does the Mishnah Chala require tochos bekarka? That's only in the case where she's standing outside the water. She's totally naked, therefore she needs tochos bekarka, because otherwise there is an iser of erva, and she can't make the bracha when there's an erva, an exposing erva. But if she's in the water, then that's a different story. Or if she's outside the water and she's wearing a chalok, mashma de benoshim ha'iser mishum de omdos orim below kiser erva, not because of liberos erva. Correct? So therefore, he says the following, that chalok is sufficient. You don't need to make a hefsek between the top and the bottom, because in the biological structure of the woman, there's no libo rosa erva, and it's just the problem of lachasos es erva. So if she's wearing a chalok, she has achieved that goal of lachasos es erva. And the drisha says that that's not enough. It's not enough to say, well, there's no libo rosa erva, but rather we have to say that lav urach arva lasos kem ibnei kvod hashchina. And if there's a problem of kvod hashchina, my mahani chibuk yadayin, the imi shum liban roasa erva. So according to the drisha, ein tzarech beishaf saka. You don't need the hefsek, and that's why chalok is okay. And because of the anatomical structure of the woman, there's no liban roasa erva. Al karcha. So what's the issue of chibuk yadayim mishum kvod hashchina? If that be the case, how does chibuk yadayim really help that problem? My mahani b'zav sukkah ben a lev ha'erva. There's not a bona fide avsukkah between the lev and the erva. Ulanius daiti nira da noshim ha'osos kein. Bechibuk yadayim ein osos yofe afilu chatchila. Says the Taz, we can justify the minigan noshim even lechatchila. Afil below chibuk yadayim, yesh lem al ma'al l'sok, they don't even need chibuk yadayim. So again, if we find out, which I'm pretty sure we will, that the noshim make the brach without chibuk yadayim, he's justifying that as well. Demashe kosev sheish iser ba midos aruma mishum kvod hashchino tamua. Again, he's reiterating the objection of the Bach. He says, don't give me this kvod hashchina business. If she's mamish aruma, alo isu doraisa mefurishu, he quotes a pasuk, mishum lo yirah b'cha ervas davar. That's in Dvarim Chav Gimel. Ukmo shekosu b'ktsitsas chala b'siman shin chav ches b'yoridea, and then we're talking about an isur dorais in the case of gili erva. Right, I can't make a brach if you're naked. Why? Because lo sira lo yirah b'cha ervas davar. You know, it's keneged mispal erva. That's gili erva. You can't make a brach. So it does matter whether it's somebody else's erva or his own erva. If it's an erva magula, that's an isur d'oraisa. B'zeh davar poshut, shafil tinoko shabes ravon. Even a tashbar will know about this. El nira poshut umuchach the im ha'adam omed b'toch mayim, afilu heim tzlulim, Ein bahem mishum gili erva. V'lo kidas bal adrisha shesviru le kol shamayim tzluim havi keomedes orum. He says that if she's in the water, even if the water is clear, that's not called gili erva. V'raya mefureshes misof perek mishum meso. Why do you have to mention Liba Ros Erva? It's nothing to do with Liba Ros Erva, it's just Gili Erva. And the issue of Liba Ros Erva itself is an issue of Plukta, whether it's us or whether it's Mutter. Forget about that. Even though he could look at his erva while he's in the clear water, mikomakom came under below miskamein alosam makom liros derech hamayim, ein bazem mishum gili erva. And he goes on and on and on. Look at the size of this taz. It keeps going and going. Now I'm going to try to suggest what's going on in the taz. He says the following. There are two different gedarim here. Now, the one who really goes into this at great length is the Mishnah Brura in his introduction here to Simon Lamed Dalet.
Ayin Dalet.
And he says the following. He says that there are really two different dinim here. One is Doraisa and the other is not Doraisa. He says, Gili Erva Hu Isur Min HaTorah. We saw this already in the Taz. It dates back to the Rashba in Masech the Brachas on that Suya on Chavdal. Minitziv lo yirah b'cha ervas dov. V'lo k'siv lo tireh el lo yirah. It's not to be exposed. Velomi boyim acher omed l'negdo the osam in the Torah, el afilu ain acher k'negdo. It's only himself. Also, he says that's as far as gilui erva is concerned. Then he says, but ve'isur libo roes erva hu rak midr abanan lachem belibo betoch hamayim. The roes ha'erva, muto likros kriyachma, velasok b'divrei Torah. In other words, if he's not libo roeh, literally roes ha'erva, if he's not looking at the erva, then there's no problem of libo roes ha'erva. Then he goes on to say, v'hefresh yesh bein libo roes ha'erva shalo o shal chavero, de'ilu ervaso mahani hafsoka b'zro osav. He can make a hefsek because he's not looking at the erva. Again, because that whole Easter of looking at the erva is only the Rabbana. And he's already mechusa b'mayim. So there's no gili erva. But l'shel chaver lo mahani afsoka v'sof sof libo roa ervas chaver. In other words, if his friend makes a hefsek between his leiv, that's not going to help for someone else because he sees the erva. And in such a case, tzartafka kisui bibeged, we need a kisui. So it comes out like this, that there's one iser of gilui erva, that's doraisa, and there's another iser of libo roes ha'erva, that's only the rabbana. And libo roes ha'erva means re'iyah mamish. So the sugya assumes that there's no problem of libo roes ha'erva in an isha, because the erva is lamata ma'od. And therefore, if a woman is already in the mikvah, and she's already covered by the water, then there's no gili erva. Now we have to solve the problem of roa es erva, and the answer is that since she's an isha, she isn't roa es erva. And if you're going to be machmir, as the Ramah is, to assume that maybe it is libo roaseh because the mayim is mayim tzlulim, then you have various solutions to that problem. Either mayim achurim, or alternatively, chibuk zroosav, or zroseha, I should say in this case. And through chibuk zroseha, we solve that problem of libo roaseh, that she actually sees the erva, if you assume there is such a problem. So let's see how we can summarize this.
Just shutting the eyes wouldn't do anything. Close your eyes.
Maybe. I would say it's not enough to close your eyes. It's got to be some hefsek that protects your eyes from seeing it. Like they say about Rav Soloveitchik that the collar wasn't dressed too properly. V'day b'chakima. So he asked for a bench rule. So nobody can understand what was going on. Rav Soloveitchik doesn't know Birchas Erusin by heart. So the answer is, he was holding the bench roll like this, as a hefsek to the erva. That's what the story goes. I wasn't there, so I don't know. So hataz herich lechazek es minag anoshim v'litmor al habach. The Bach assumes that there's libo rosa erva. The Taz is saying Yeshnei Dinim. There's one din of Kisui Erva, because otherwise Gili Erva. Shenilma mea posuk velo Yirabacha Ervas Dovar. The Asur, the Gili Erva. And that means Dvarim Shebekedusha, whether it's Kriyat Shema, whether it's Tefillah, whether it's Brachos, are enjoined when there's a Gili Erva. And that's an Isudo Raisa. And the Gili Erva could be your Erva, somebody else's Erva, Kenegan Erva. Then Din Nosaf, there's another Isur of Libo Roas Erva. And that's what we saw in the Bir Alochi as his introduction to Siman Ayin Dalin, based on the poskim, that if there's Gili Erva, that's a Din Doraisa. But if there's Libo Roas Erva, and that's not Gili, that's only an Isur Drabana. And therefore, also Leisha Lokutz Chala Aruma, if she's standing naked, then she can't make the bracha. That's an Isur Gomer Doraisa of Gili Erva. What the Orchas Chaim adds is that as far as Isha is concerned, she doesn't need a hefsek between Liba and the Erva. She can wear this chalok because Eino Nech of Liba Roasa Erva in the case of a woman, and therefore she needs this chalok. Now, if she's in the water, that's like a chalok as far as Gili Erva, the guf, is considered mechusa b'mayim. The only problem is that if she'll make the brach at this point, is she looking at the Erva? And the answer is that she's not looking at the Erva, she's looking outside the Erva. If you want to be machmir, she's doing the chibuk zro'osav to create some sort of a hefsek. And all this is enough according to the Orchas Chaim, and this is against the Drisha, because the Drisha assumes that there's an additional problem of Kvod HaShchina when she's in the water. And the Shach and the Taz are completely rejecting this, as we saw the Bach does, because how does he, Bodem Alimo, he made this new Svara of Kvod HaShchina. Now the Taz actually advocates in favor of Chibuk Zor Seha. And why is that so? Roila shetasa chibuk bizroseha, so that she separates between libali erva, and that's in order to be out to the shita that, as far as the isha is concerned, there may be a problem of libo roes erva if she actually sees the erva. The Taz concludes v'chein minigan noshim kayom levarich b'mayim al yidei chibuk zroosav. But then the Taz writes that some have the minhag to do it without chibuk zroosav. And he writes, Gam harosh svir leikorchas chayim. Sharei, how does he know that the rosh accepts the orchas chayim? He says, let's read the language of the tour again. And the language of the tour is, harayvid Kosav shetavarach lifaneha, means before before she takes off her clothes. Kodem shetiv shal b'kodev v'imlo bircha kodem sheposhto tevarech li'achar tzchase es savor b'mayim. And v'chein kosev adoni ovi arosh salzik sheposhetes malbusha omedes b'chaluka u'tevarech v'tiv shal chaluka v'titbol. So basically, according to the Rosh, then what the Torah writes, v'chein kosav harosh, what does he mean? V'chein kosav adoni ovi harosh, that's as far as her making a bracha before the tefillah. So it's interesting. See, the Rosh quotes the Raavad on two counts. First of all, where the bracha should be before the tefillah or after the tefillah. And secondly, when she makes the bracha before the tefillah, should she be wearing her clothes or not? And in the case of Mayim, does she need Mayim Akurim? Then he writes, V'chein Kosav Adoni Ovi Arosh Zal. So the Taz says that V'chein Kosav Adoni Arosh Zal is going on the bracha lifnei tvila. But as far as the Erva issue is concerned, correct? He says, just one second here. He says, here there is a machlokas between the Raavad and the Rosh, and that the Torah doesn't deny. And the Raavad holds that mivareches kishehi bebegadeha. The Rosh doesn't have such a requirement of begadeha, it just has mechaseh mechusa becholuk. Now in the choluk there's no actual, you know, belt or anything that separates between the lave and the erva. And the answer is because the Rosh, like the Orchas Chaim, both hold that it's enough that there's no gili erva and the erva's mechusa, and that takes off the doraisa halacha of megula. As far as libo roas erva, there's no problem because in the case of an isha, it's Lamata Ma'od. Okay, now all that is great in the Taz's interpretation of the Torah, but when we get to the Shulchan Aruch, you know, the Taz is very difficult because the Shulchan Aruch seems to assume that the Rosh is correct. He writes, Kisha Poshetes Malbusha Omeres Bechaluka V'Tavarech. And then the Rosh requires if she's in the water, she needs Mayim Achurim. What's going on over here? In the Reish of the Shulchan Aruch, he says that all she needs is a chaluk, and there is no problem of libo roas ha'erva because there's no azar, there's no chagora between the lev and the erva. But yet, when she's in the water, all of a sudden he writes that im hayu mayim tzluim zochrasam b'ragle b'karka, which means that there is a problem of libo roas ha'erva. So the Taz is raising this problem back in Sif Aleph when he says that there's a stira here, because on the one hand the Shulchan Aruch accepts the Orchas Chaim in Shulchan Aruch Orchaim, and all you need is a chalok, and therefore he says the Taz v'lomim kein hitzrich kan achiras mayim. From the fact that a chalok is enough without a hefsek, you see that there's no libo roas erva, and the Shulchan Aruch embraces that shita in Orchaim Siman Ayin Talit. Here, he speaks about mayim tzlulim requiring achiras hamayim. So on one hand, Rav Osler, we've made a lot of progress, and we can justify the minhag hanoshim, and that's based on the Rosh who rejects the Raavad. But on the other hand, we don't make any sense, you know, out of the Shulchan Aruch. The Shulchan Aruch himself seems to be contradicting himself, and the Taz doesn't answer this question at all. The Rama himself would not justify a minhag because he says Mechasis Atzma Bibgadel. He certainly is machmir to assume that there is an issue of libo roas ha'erva. For the Taz says, therefore, we should advocate a woman doing the chibuk zrosav. He's going to cover now the his cover. She'll cover our bases as far as this chumra of the Ramah, who's assuming there is an issue of liba ros harifa. There's still an element of a kula here because, if as we saw at great length in the drisha of the Bach, they don't accept, especially the Bach doesn't accept the chibuk zrosel as an option to make a hefsek between her lev and her erva. But okay, the Ramah is willing to accept at least the chalok. But again, she's in the water. We don't require a chalok when she's in the water. She just makes the brach and that's it. You want to be machmir, says the Taz. Okay, require chibuk zrosel. But the Ramah is not happy with chibuk zrosel. He requires a chalok. So there's a book on Hilchas Nida called the Lechem V'Simla. Okay, and he also asks the question of the Taz, how do we justify and reconcile the Shulchan Aruch? And he says the following, that when the Shulchan Aruch says Shomeres B'Chaluka, what he means, the Shulchan Aruch, is chibuk zroseha. I'll read to you his language. He says, chaluka shenokat ha-shulchan aruch hu al yidei chibuk zroseha o al yidei chagora ubalav hachi asur ukedas harayvit. In other words, we mistakenly identify the Shulchan Aruch with the Rush, because like the Rush, Chalok in the Shulchan Aruch would seem to be sufficient. No. He says that's not what the Shulchan Aruch means by a Chalok. What he means by a Chalok is like the Ravid, that you need an absolute separation between her and the Erva. And that's going to be with a chalok and chibuk zrosel. Now, I'm not sure exactly. I guess she's wearing this covering, and then around the covering, she's doing chibuk zrosel. But in any event, it comes out that the Shulchan Aruch is not contradicting himself, because he always requires some sort of solution to the problem of libo ros ha'erva in the case of tefillah. And he solves it by chalok. We thought that meant that there was no problem of libo ros ha'erva. No, there is an issue. The chalok would only solve that problem if you add chibuk zrosel into the equation. Truth is that if chibuk zrosel would be enough, I don't know why the Shulchan Aruch requires Imayim Tzluim is, what's his language, is or Ochrasan Biraglea Umavarech. Why Ochrasan Biraglea? Why not just do Chibuk Zorseh? So that I don't understand. So maybe the Taz's Stira is still a valid Stira. The Gra here doesn't help us at all, because the Gra writes, like the Taz, that when it says in Shulchan Aruch Omedes b'chaluka, it's based on the psak in Shulchan Aruch Aruch Chaim, where he passes like the Aruch Chaim that all you need is chaluk. Then once again, we don't understand why in the case of Mayim do we need tzricha lachar samayim. So with all the respect to the Gaon, I'm still stuck here not understanding the Shulchan Aruch. So the Shach, as I told you, has a long piece here in Sifkat and Gimel, and I tried to see if the Shach could help us get out of this problem and make some sense out of the Shulchan Aruch. The Shach assumes that the Shulchan Aruch paskins like the Ravid, and therefore you require Mayim Achurim, and there is a serious issue of Libo Ros Ha'erva here. But in Shulchan Aruch, when the Mechaber writes in Aruch Chaim Siman Ayin Dalet that Noshim Yechols Levarach is Pakshem Levushos Chalok, that is only one opinion. And that's why the Shulchan Aruch writes Yesh Misha Omer. But the Shulchan Aruch never paskin like that, Yesh Misha Omer. And a Chalok would not be sufficient. And therefore, when a woman goes to the mikveh and she wants to make the bracha, she's going to need mayim achurim in order that it shouldn't be libo roas ha'erva. And a chalok would not be sufficient. He only quotes the Or Chaim in Shulchan Aruch as a yesh misha omer. But the Shach wants to say that even though the Shulchan Aruch would not be happy with a chalok, but nevertheless, our Noshim, paskin like the Or Chaim, the Yesh Misha Omer, in Shulchan Aruch Or Chaim. And therefore, if this Mayim Tzluim, she doesn't need anything. She can just make the bracha. She has to make sure that she doesn't look inside the water at that time. But again, it's very strange because the Shulchan Aruch here says that Omeres Bechaluka Poshetes Begadeh Malbusheo Omeres Bechaluka. If you're telling me that the Shulchan Aruch never accepted the Or Chaim and he assumes that you need Aricha Samayim or Achura Samayim because there's a serious problem of Libo Rosa Erva, why does he accept Chaluka? Chaluka should not be acceptable. And therefore, Divrei HaShach Duchukim. And not only that, to say that the Shulchan Aruch rejects the Or Chaim is very odd, because if the Shulchan Aruch writes Yesh Misha Omer, he should have said V'yesh Misha Omer HaHefach. Yesh Misha Machmir B'zeh. You know, from the fact that the Shulchan Aruch just brings down one Yesh Misha Omer with a Kula, and he doesn't qualify with a second opinion, that would seem to indicate, in my opinion, that he accepted that opinion. And even though the Shach wants to argue against that, but nobody learns the Shulchan Aruch like the Shach. Okay. I'll let you go now. I just want to add one point here. And that is the following. I quoted to you before this sefer called Lechem V'Simla. And he writes the following. Again, it's a pretty heavy statement. Habach v'adrisha to'u b'din poshut shall isur gili erva chutz me'isur libo roas erva. Rak pshitalahu shall adasa or cheschayim kishem shall leka isur libo roas erva she'ervas isha lamata mi'od hu adin the leka iser eineha ros v'ze erva mechusa bi'etzem. He says that the drisha and the bach equated the iser of libo ros erva with the iser of gili erva, and he says the following, that in truth, even if there is no libo roas ha'erva issue in the case of Isha, there's another category, which is a ne'er roas, and the Bach and the Drisha seem to be oblivious to this. He says, according to the Or Chaim, and this is where the Bach messed up perhaps, if there's no issue of libo roas ha'erva in Isha because of the anatomical structure of the erva, then hu adin leka Yisrael ne'er roas. In other words, according to this interpretation, the erva of an Isha is mechusa. It's called a mechusa because of its structure, where it's located. And therefore, you can ask the question, so why can't she make a bracha? And therefore, the Bach has no ammunition, so to speak. He has no justified argument against the Drisha, that the Drisha came up with this idea of Kvod Shechina, because the Drisha has to come up with this idea of Kvod Shechina. If the Orchas Chaim is right in his assumption that there's no Libo Rosa Erva in Isha because of her anatomical structure, then ipso facto there's no Ayin Roa Esa Erva as well. And if that be the case, what's the Mishnah in Chala talking about when it says that she cannot simply cover her body and recite the bracha? She's got to do this tochos, you know, b'karka. The answer must be there's some sort of additional halacha of a chiyuv kvod shechina as a new din unto itself. That's the drisha. And therefore the Bach is not justified in his attack against the drisha. Okay, right now we'll take a break here, and I want to reemphasize that according to both the Shach and the Taz, there seems to be a fundamental distinction between the Issa Derabbanan and the Issa Doraisa in Erva, and that we saw already in the Bir Aloch of the Mishnah Bura. And we can only be makil as far as the din of a hefsek between the Lev and the Erva, namely a din Derabbanan. And as far as Libo Roas Ha'erv is concerned, the Geder is Re'iyas Ha'lev. And the Re'iyas Ha'lev of the Erev is not a problem in Isha, but nevertheless there's still a problem of Isha Shelo Tira Ervas Dovar, and of course Gili Erev Mamish, that's a Doraisa. So the Shach and Taz will not allow anyone to waver or question the premise that even in Isha there's a Gili Erva and the issue of a Doraisa. And the Geder HaIsur is that the Erva has to be Mechusa. And when we talk about the anatomical structure and it's Lamata Mi'od, that's as far as the second Isur of Roes HaErva. So that has to be emphasized over and over again. Now the Taz has another proof here from a Gemara in Sota Daf Ches, Isha Niskeles Kshi Mechusa Milafanel Melachareha Shervasa Kei Nechshav Megula. And if you look again in the Bir Aloch in his Akdoma to Siman Ayin Dalid, he has Din Shlishi. He paskins that Gili Ervas and Oser, even if libo mechusa, the enov enom roos. In other words, even though he covers his eyes, or let's say he would put his head out of a window, he would still be Osir and Talmud Torah and the like, because it still is Gili Erva. The fact that he's not seeing it is still Gili Erva. And the Bir Halacha says that that's against the Bach in Yoredeya, who holds that there's no Isur Gili Erva unless it's Libo Roes Erva. In other words, the Bach, in a sense, integrates these two together, and if you don't have Libo Roes Erva, there's no Re'iyah, then there's no Gili Erva at all. That's not the Shach and the Taz. They understood, even in the Bach, that there is a basic Isur of Gili Erva that has nothing to do with Roas Erva. Whether he sees it or not, it's Megula, that's enough to generate the Isur, and it's an Isur Doraisa. According to the Lechem and Salma, then certainly the Bach will be moded to the Isur Gili Erva, just that the Bach holds that according to the Orchas Chaim, in the case of an Isha, there's no Isur, just like there's no Isur of Libo Roas Erva, there's no Isur of Gili Erva because of her anatomical structure. That's how he understood the Bach. Or shall we say, that's how he understood the Bach's understanding of the Orchas Chaim. That would be more meticulous, more accurate. Now the Mishnah Bura in Ayin Dal Zivkot and Tezayin writes as far as Tfilas Noshim, after he The Mishnah Berurah summarizes what we saw in Yerodea, Simon Reish, Damaski, Hataz, Vashachsham, Dulfimash and Posaka Shulchanar Po, mean Po here in our Chayim, Dulashayach, Beisha Liba, Roesa Erva, Muteris Luvarich Birchsat Vil, Kshio Medis Vitoch Amaim, Af, Kshia Daina Ruma, Dimishum Gili Erva, Ein Bozet, Amaim Nechshavim Kiskisui. So that's okay. Again, I don't know about the Mayim Achurim here. And he writes, Yosef Tov, Shealiba Lemala Ben Amayim. He'd rather pick up the top part of her body above the water. Dezesh Shari Af Be'ish, K'mosh Kosev Ramah, Bahagobesiv Beis. Oshet Chabek Zrosel, Lahafsik Ben Libo Lierva. B'chein Posak B'chokmas Odom. Now, L'chora, according to the Taz that we have here in Yerodea, he writes, L'chora ayatov yosef shelo yikanes liba b'mayim. Dei shelo yeh liba v'yervasa b'toch ha'mayim. So he doesn't want the lave and the erva to be in the water. Ella, but he writes, the yosef yesh tzniyu setiyah Mechusa kula ad savar b'mayim ki mevur b'shari dura. So the Taz seems to advocate that her head be outside the water, but the rest of her body be inside the water. That's more tsanua, and he invokes the shari dura. Then he advocates b'techabek b'yodel lahafsik. So you get the impression that both the Taz and the Mishnah Berurah are advocating in favor of Chibuk Zroseha. Maybe one Zro is enough. I don't know if she needs both Zros. And the Taz on the one end has the head out of the water, but the rest of the body in the water. The Mishnah Berurah seems to be advocating in favor of Yosef Tov Shia Liba Lamala Minamai. Okay, we'll stop here.